Title, 90s Sampler Tone Emulation from Scratch Using Session View Intermediate. Alright, today we're building a proper 90s style sampler tone inside Ableton Live, but we're doing it the way the culture actually worked, in Session View, with clip launching, printing audio, and rechopping the results. The goal isn't make it lo-fi for the sake of it. It's that specific jungle and early D&B feeling, slightly dulled top end, crunchy mids, transients that smack without sounding modern and shiny, and that subtle handled quality you get from older Akai and Emu style workflows. And we're doing it using only stock Ableton devices. By the end, you'll have a reusable Session View resample lab, a print bus with a sampler style chain, a break source, a bass source, and a resampled clips track where you collect your best takes. This is one of those setups you'll keep coming back to. Let's build the template first. Create 4 tracks in Session View. Audio track 1. Name it Break Source. MIDI track 1. Name it Bass Source. If you already have a bass audio stab, you can make it audio, but MIDI is great for making something from scratch. Audio track 2. Name it 90s Print Bus. Audio track 3. Name it Resampled Clips. Now go to your 90s Print Bus track. This is the key. Set monitor to in, so it always listens. Arm it for recording. For routing, start simple. On the print bus, set audio from to break source when your printing breaks, and later you'll switch it to bass source when you're printing bass. One at a time keeps everything controlled. Up top, set global quantization to 1 bar. That way, when you launch clips, everything locks in like a tight DJ-style performance. It keeps you in that D&B mindset where timing is everything. Now let's get a break running. Drop a classic breakbeat clip into break source. Amen, think, hot pants anything with character works. In the clip settings, turn warp on. Start with warp mode set to beats. Set preserve to transients. Then adjust the envelope somewhere around 30 to 60. Here's what that envelope is really doing in practice. Lower values can feel a bit looser and crunchier. Higher values clamp the transients more cleanly. Neither is right. You're choosing attitude. Set the clip launch mode to trigger and leave quantization on global. Launch it, get it looping, and let it run while we build the sampler tone. Now we build the sampler chain on the 90s print bus. Order matters here, because we're mimicking the behavior of old hardware. You hit an input stage, then you degrade the audio, then you shape the bandwidth, then you add punch and blue, and then you level it safely. First device, saturator. This is your hot input stage. Old samplers loved being driven. Set drive somewhere around plus 3 to plus 8 dB. Turn soft clip on. Don't be scared if it starts feeling a bit forward and dense. That's the point. Teacher note, the vibe is input hot, output safe. Push into the first nonlinear stage, then later we'll trim. If you only degrade quietly, it tends to sound like an effect. If you drive first, it starts feeling like a process. Second device, redux. This is the heart of the sampler vibe. Start with bits at 12. Set downsample to around 2 to 4 for breaks. Turn the filter on inside redux. If you're thinking, how far is too far? Here's a rule. Go until it starts to get exciting, then pull it back slightly. For breaks, you usually want groove and readability more than total destruction. For bass stabs, you can push harder later, like downsample 4 to 6, sometimes even more, depending on taste. Third device. EQ8. We're doing bandwidth limiting, like older converters and lower sample rate capture. Add a low-pass filter somewhere around 10 to 14 kHz. Start around 12k. Use a 12 dB per octave slope as a sensible starting point. If it gets boxy, do a gentle dip around 250 to 400 Hz, maybe 1 to 3 dB. If you lose too much bite in the snare, try a tiny bump at 2 to 4kHz, half a dB to 2 dB. Tiny moves. This is hardware thinking, not surgical mixing. Fourth device, drum bus. This is your printed to hardware glue. Set drive somewhere around 5 to 20%. Crunch around 5 to 25%. Keep boom off or extremely low for breaks, because boom can smear fast rolls. Then adjust transients. If the loop loses urgency after redux and low pass, try transients plus 2 to plus 6. If it's too clicky, pull it down a bit. Fifth device, utility. This is for gain staging and quick width control. Adjust gain so you're not turning your master into a red light parade. And for classic D&B drive, consider narrowing the width slightly, like 80 to 100%. Breaks often feel more aggressive when they're not super wide. Now, before we print, quick coaching habit, do A and B checks at matched loudness. Crunch always wins when it's louder. So one thing you can do is map utility gain to a macro later, but even now, just be aware, if you add drive and it gets louder, your brain will think it's better. Try to level match. Cool. Now let's print the break through the chain, session view style, on the 90s print bus. Click an empty clip slot and record into it. Then launch your break clip. Record 4 to 16 bars. Stop recording. Now you've got a printed clip on the print bus, meaning your break has been captured through your fake sampler. Immediately rename it. This is not optional if you want to work fast. Name it something like MN90's 12-bit DS3 LP12K 8 bars. The goal is, future you can tell exactly what you did. Then drag that printed clip down into the resampled clips track. Think of resampled clips like your crate. Your best takes live there. Now we do the fun part. Reach up like it's 1994. Option A is the classic, slice to drum rack. Right click the printed clip. Choose slice to new MIDI track. Slice by transients. Use the built-in slicing preset set to none, because we'll process our own way. Now you have a drum rack where each pad is a slice. This is jungle gold. You can rebuild a two-step, do fast edits, retrigger ghost snares, and create those signature fill moments that sound like someone's hands are physically on the machine. Option B is faster and stays audio-based. Warp and clip editing. You can duplicate small regions, move the loop brace, do 1/8 or 1/16 stutters, and use clip envelopes. Use transposition envelopes for pitchy sampler riffs, and volume envelopes for gated cuts. Both are authentic. The difference is, drum rack feels like programming and audio clip warping feels like editing tape. Choose based on your brain. Let's make a rolling DNB drum loop in session view. If you slice to drum rack, create a MIDI clip. Start with a minimal roller. Kick on 1, and then the end of 2 for that stepping feel. Snare on 2 and 4. Then add ghost snares quietly. Place them slightly off the main hits, and keep velocities lower. This is where the groove becomes alive. Now add swing with the groove pool. Try an MPC 16 swing around 54 to 58. Apply it lightly, like 20 to 40%. We're not making it sloppy. We're just letting it breathe. Here's a very 90s move. Print it again. Second generation. Route your drum rack output into the 90s print bus and do another pass, but keep the settings lighter this time. This is how you get that brown, familiar jungle dirt, subtle generation loss. It's not a gimmick. It's literally how people ended up with those textures. Now let's do the bass. Also using session view resampling. Go to bass source and load operator. We'll build a quick resish stab. Use two oscillators summed. Oscillator A, saw. Oscillator B, saw. Detune slightly. Keep it simple. The point is not the synth patch. The point is what happens when we print it and treat it like a one-shot. Add auto filter on the bass track. Set it to low pass 24. Put cutoff somewhere between 200 and 800 Hz. We're going to move that cutoff while we resample, because motion during printing is part of the sound. Make a 1-bar MIDI clip. Use a classic DNB note like F or G. Put short offbeat stab so it bounces against the drums. Now switch the print bus audio from to bass source. Record 4 to 8 bars while you gently tweak the filter cutoff. Don't go crazy. Subtle movement prints better. Overdoing it can sound like an obvious effect, but a little motion sounds like hardware. Stop recording. Rename the clip with your settings, and drag it into resampled clips. Now take that printed bass clip and drag it into simpler, classic mode. Set voices to 1 for mono. If you want that sliding old school feel, add a little glide, like 30 to 80 milliseconds. Use simpler's filter. Low pass with a touch of resonance. Then shape the amp envelope. Shorter decay for stabs, longer for smeary notes. Now you're playing a resampled bass hit, which is exactly the point. In 90s workflows, the sound is often the fact that it's been committed to audio and retriggered, not endlessly synthesized. At this stage you should have a handful of solid clips, a cleanish break, a crunchy resample, maybe a fill or edit clip, a bass stab groove, and maybe a no drum scene for intros. Let's turn session view into an arrangement. Hit arrangement record. Now perform. Launch clips like a DJ. Do 16 bars intro with bandwidth limited drums. Then 16 bars drop with the full resampled break and bass. Every 8 bars, trigger a fill clip, or swap to a harder print for 1 bar, then snap back. That swap generations move is a classic DNB forward motion trick. Small changes that keep energy without ruining the roll. Now, some common mistakes to avoid. Don't redux your entire mix. Keep this sampler chain for elements like breaks and stabs. Leave your master clean. If you crush everything, you lose impact. Don't skip gain staging. You want to hit the saturator and drum bus in a meaningful way, then trim after. Aim for the print bus to feel hot before utility, something like peaks around -6 to -3 dBFS, Then pull down so your recorded clip has room for layering. Headroom is part of the 90s sound too, because everything wasn't slammed into a modern limiter. Don't low pass too low immediately. If you cut 6 or 8K, you may kill the cymbal tining cues that make breaks feel fast. Try 10 to 14K first, then adjust. And don't chop without groove. If everything is perfect grid, it can feel dead. Use swing or nudge hits by tiny amounts. Jungle is precise, but it's not sterile. Now let's add a few advanced upgrades if you want to push this further. First, take management in session view. Instead of recording one print, record 3 to 5 takes in adjacent clip slots, changing only one knob each time. For example, only change redux downsample, then color code them. One color for main loops, one for fill material, one for two broken but keep for FX. This keeps you moving fast and stops you from losing great accidents. Second, micro choices, transients versus cymbals. If your loop loses urgency, don't immediately undo redux. Try opening the low pass a touch, or increase drum bus transients a bit, or layer in a tiny clean top loop for definition. A super quiet clean top can restore timing clarity while the main loop stays crunchy. Third, remember warping changes tone. Beats mode tends to feel crisp and chopped. Tones can smear in a way that's amazing for pitch down breaks. Complex often sounds too modern, so use it carefully. If you want a super authentic controlled degradation workflow, build two print buses. GDN1 is mild, saturator, lighter redux, ek. GDN2 is character, drum bus, tiny redux, utility. Print through GEM1, then route the resample through GEN2. It's like doing two machines, two captures. You keep musical detail but still get that handled identity. Another pro move, a transient keeper layer. Duplicate your break. High pass at around 2 to 5 kHz so it's mostly hats and snare edge. Keep it cleaner with minimal processing, then blend it under the resample. Now you can go harder on the crunchy print without the groove collapsing. This audio version is shortened for playback.